So we're going to have a celebration service next week, and Rick's got it together to make it all happen, actually, online with some interviews and videos and things like that. The simple way to get onto live stream is just go to YouTube and then type in Squin Community Church. And as we are live stream, it is live streamed to you. And then once the service is over, it's posted both in the archive of YouTube as well as on our church website so you can stay connected. Rick's worked out a way that we can have conference calls with one another. So if you have small group members that can't meet with you, they can meet with you virtually. They dial a number and now you have a conference call with your small group. And I know we have Wednesday and Thursday rooted groups that come and meet on site, and stay tuned. We've got a couple of ways of how that might happen. And again, Rick is primarily behind that, and most of this is in the video.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick. I'm going to introduce you how to do live stream on your computer and your TV. First, the computer. Finding the stream is easy. Just go to squimcommunitychurch.org. Then in the lower left, click on the watch page. The upper right, click on catch our live stream. Up comes YouTube, ready to show that morning's stream. If you sign in and subscribe, the videos will be there every time you open the website or app. On your TV, you go to search and find YouTube. When it comes up, go over to search and type in Squim Community Church. Then again, up comes the channel. You click on the video and there you go. This week in three counties of Washington State, churches moved completely to live stream with no one in the auditorium. In Squim, we want to be prepared for that eventuality. So we would love everyone to be able to use YouTube and stream the services on a Sunday morning. If that's not possible for you, we can get you a DVD of the service as well. We hope people will watch the videos not only in their homes, but also in smaller groupings, and have time together to talk about the message and pray for one another. We're going to offer a telephone call-in as well that will enable people who aren't able to be in a small group to be able to talk about that with friends of theirs. So we're working on all these things. We want to stay connected, and we're hopeful for God to be doing great things in the days ahead.
Awesome. So if you need help with any of that, call the church office, and there will be someone in the office that can receive your calls. If you have a particular need, like you need someone to go to the grocery store for you, please let us know that. Call into the office. If we're not right at the phone, please leave a message. Those are checked regularly if we're coming and going, getting things together in the office, because we do want to help you and support and encourage you as we all make our way through this very, very challenging time. And we're not alone. I want to say hi to Marcy. She's in Florida. She wrote me a note and sent in a check this week. It was awesome to hear from her. I was a couple hours away from you last week. You're having great weather in Florida. Not a bad place to hang out this time of the year. So thanks for sending a note along with your contribution. Christy Paris is going to come and read our scripture passage this morning. You know, I was so sick in the month of January and February, the beginning of Rooted, by the way. You know, I feel really good today. I know I don't have anything, but okay. I don't know about you.
That is questionable. So, good morning, church.
I think I hugged you on Friday night, so whatever you've got,
you
I'm
you're in trouble.
Ed, I know how you feel.
Oh. Good morning. This morning I will be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You can follow in your bulletins or in the overhead. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Thank you, Chrissy. So just leave up the scripture passage for just a second. And this didn't make my notes. I'm not sure why. I want you to see all the positive descriptive words in this passage. We are to motivate one another to love, to good works. We should be people that are encouraging one another, and we should have an anticipation that God is working and God does have a plan all the way into the future, looking for the day of his return or our arrival in heaven with him. Now, I'm not sure why anyone would neglect to meet with a group like that except if you have fragile health right now. I believe the church is a place to be motivated, equipped, encouraged. I don't know about you, but as I've been a Christian, I believe I've been encouraged to be much more loving and less self-centered than I used to be, and I probably would have been in my life. That God has brought not only great relationships with other people, but a strong and developing, strengthening relationship with Jesus. And his word has informed me very, very well. The more I know it and the more I apply it to my life, I think, well, just imagine what I would be like without that. For a moment, imagine what we would be like without that. And let's go even a little bit larger than that. Are you aware of everything that the church worldwide is responsible for? Just in this moment. Historically, the church has been a place of motivation, of love, of encouragement, of doing good works for those that gather together and those that are yet to come, those that are yet to belong. I started as a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for 20 years. And one thing I realized right away in the youth culture is that a lot of students, a lot of youth, belong before they believe, just like me. They were loved into the faith. Now, here's my story. Remember, I got invited to go on a bus to the beach. I think the guy that invited me was a little shocked as he looked at me getting on a church bus. Oh, no, what have I done? Koenig Saker and a bunch of church kids. Ooh, I don't know. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. And as I mentioned last week, the summer intern, the Baptist summer intern in a Presbyterian church, that's an interesting combination, shared the four spiritual laws with me, and that put me on a quest. Some questions. How do I get to know Jesus personally? And that got me thinking about the existence of God, creation, my own sinfulness, how I understood Jesus to not condemn me for my sinfulness, but to forgive me of my sins, and then empower me for really a better life than I know, than I would have lived if I was left all on my own. Here's where the church comes in. We're playing football at Griffith Park on a Wednesday night, which was youth group night, and there were several hundred students there gathered like we always did. And the youth pastor called over three of the craziest guys in the youth group. And he brought them together and he pointed me out as I was playing football. And he looked very seriously at all three of them and said, "He is your project. He will not become a Christian if you do not befriend him." And they took that very seriously. Right away, that very Friday afternoon, they called me on the phone and they said, "Hey, Scott, what are you doing tonight?" Church kids, "Oh, I don't know if I want to tell you what I'm going to do tonight. It has something to do with a party, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go do." "Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go do this and this and this, and we would love it if you would come with us." Wow, somebody inviting me to belong. And I thought, let's see, party, girls, drinking, hang out with some Christian guys. Okay, I'll give you a roll. I'll roll the dice with you tonight. Let's see how much fun we have. And I'm telling you what, those were some wild guys in the best sense of the term. We did things that were crazy and wild, but they weren't destructive. They were constructive things. I liked hanging around with them. Friday night went so well, I was kind of hoping they'd call me for Saturday night, and they did. And literally, for the next several months, every Friday and Saturday, they would call me, or previously, "Hey, next Friday we're going to go do this, or next Saturday we're going to go do this. Do you want to come along with us?" And they befriended me into the church. Those friendships made it very easy as I listened to the youth pastor ask for a commitment of students. "Raise your hand." It was easy to want to do that. It made sense in my mind and also my heart and my soul. This is awesome. And I remember saying, you know, if this is a life membership, I'm all in. This is awesome. I belong before I believe. Most people belong before they believe in this day and age. And as they belong, what do they experience? What do I hope they experience? I hope that they're motivated to good works. I hope they're equipped for good works. I hope they experience loving and encouraging relationships. I hope that even on a difficult day like this, I still want to hang out with those guys. I still want to be together with the church. Now, we're not perfect in what we do. We're still aspiring. We always have room to improve and a new opportunity to assimilate, and yeah, there are challenges in life and society that we're stepping up to as well. But who doesn't want to be a part of a positive relationship, an encouraging relationship? Here's what Paul said: "Let love be genuine. Love one another with personal affection at 5 or 6 feet." Oh, wait, I had to add that. "Outdo one another in showing honor to each other." Ooh, that's a challenging one. How do we honor one another? How do we love one another? I think Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and as we belong to him, we belong to one another. I'm going to hijack something from a friend of mine, Rick Warren. The first time I heard him speak this, I just jumped and grabbed it. I thought, that is such an amazing, simple, biblical, true reality about the church. And that simply is a commitment to the great commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the great commission, go and make disciples, baptize them, bring them into the church, teach them everything they need to know to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That a great commitment to the great commandments and the great commission will create a great church. How can you lose? How can you lose when you're carrying out the two great commandments and the great commission? You can't. You can't. So how we're structured and a good part of how we function is designed around these two scriptures. Now we're going to go, I'm supposed to stand over here so you can see the illustrations as, can you, oh, there we go. All right. So notice worship's at the heart. The number one commandment is to love God with all your heart. That's worship. That's celebrating God's presence. I'm a big fan that worship should be a celebration. It ought to be energizing. What we do musically and in terms of worship is to engage you and give you voice as you worship God. So that together we realize that God is God. And that having Jesus be the leader of our life is the very best thing we could do. And it's one of the greatest things we share with one another. Okay, love your neighbor as yourself. That's demonstrating God's love. We want to demonstrate God's love to others in ministry, and now we've got an interesting ministry opportunity this next week. We're going to be toilet paper carriers for people. You know, we're going to go to the grocery store for people. We're going to ask them, find out who needs some meals because they're not feeling very good, and how do we care for them? That's ministry. That's loving other people the way that we want to be loved. And I know how that all works. I'm like you. I want everybody to love me the way I want to be loved. The challenge is, do I want to love somebody else the way I want to be loved? That's the challenge. And ministry is definitely an opportunity, but it is also a challenge. And it will take our very best at times. It will take our very best at times. So those are the great commandments. Now let's go to the Great Commission. We're supposed to go and make disciples. I love to point out it doesn't say stay and wait. It says go and make. And we're to go and make disciples. We're communicating God's word to other people. And sometimes that other person is the person that we rub shoulders with each and every day. One of our neighbors, somebody that's a part of a group that we're a part of. Sometimes we go to the other side of the planet to share God's word. And we do that, as I mentioned last week, because eternity is in the balance. And notice, God doesn't say, just be passive and show up and send your tithe in. No, it doesn't say that. It says, do that, but also be willing to go, be active in what you do. And so communicating God's word is really how we live our life, perhaps more so than even what we say. But we've got to walk the talk and talk the walk. We have to do both of those things, right? Both of those things. Number four is discipleship. Teach them all these things. All of this book. There was some interesting conversation this last week about, let's see, bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Oh, that's an Old Testament thing. The small group leader said, okay, if you don't like that, then let's go to Acts 2. And in Acts 2, it says, go home and sell everything you have. So 10% to the church, or you want to sell it all and give it away? Okay. We need to learn everything in this book. Everything in the Bible is good for us to know and apply to our life. I like to throw out, please show me the thing that's in here that says, do this, and that's a bad thing to do. Or there are a few places where it says, by the way, don't do these things. They're not really good for you. And I want to find the good thing on that list or those lists. And the truth is God is moving us towards the good and reminding us to avoid some of the bad, difficult, sinful things in life. And that's a process of educating one another, educating ourselves. And it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. And that's what it means to be a disciple. Discipleship is about being dedicated to Jesus Christ and to His Word. And working out the challenges that you face, I face each and every day. That's a commitment. Now, you'll notice fellowship is not a circle. And the reason it's not a circle is because fellowship happens all the way across the board. It happens in worship. It happens when we do evangelism. It happens when we do discipleship. It happens when we do ministry. Why? We do it individually, but we also do that corporately. Again, we're better together than we are alone. We're better together than we are alone. So that is what the church is. In fact, go to any Bible-believing church and you'll find that we share this target in common with one another. Now, the way we go about doing these things might be a little bit different from church to church. In fact, I think it ought to be. This is the mission statement of the church, and then you might have a vision statement like we do, that there's a unique way we're going to go about doing worship, evangelism, discipleship, and ministry. But that is what the church is. That is what the church does. Now, remember, it's a commitment to the great commandments and the great commission. What does that commitment look like? What does that commitment look like? It is a commitment to Jesus Christ. That is the primary thing that defines us as the church. It's not your attendance. It's not the fact that you're trying to get away from all of your bad habits. It's not even your service, you know, trying to earn your way into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I reminded my children, you don't get into heaven just because your dad's a pastor. And literally, they were in church like 2 or 3 days after they were each born. They were a part of us all of those many years. But I told all of them, they have to decide about Jesus Christ, whether He's going to be the leader of their life or not. And so initially, it is about our profession of faith or our confession of faith and our baptism. Have we told someone that Jesus is the leader of our life? Are we willing to confess that to other people? And how we do that, it varies. Sometimes people write things out. Sometimes, I worked at a couple of different camps. They'd go get a piece of wood and they'd write their sins on it, and then they'd go over to the fire and they'd throw it in. And in those camps, there were great moments of affirmation of faith and beginning of faith, commitment of faith. Now, I'm one of those people that believe that if you've confessed Jesus to be the leader of your life, your Lord and Savior, then you ought to be baptized. And I'm one of those guys, it doesn't matter how much water there is. You can have a little water, you can have a lot of water, as I told a group a little while back. You know, I'll sprinkle you, I'll use a super soaker. You can go with us to the straight. We'll put you all the way in and bring you all the way out just like Jesus. And that water so cold, you'll remember that the rest of your life. One kid last year, because we do this regularly with the older children and the youth, he thought he would bypass the cold by wearing a wetsuit. He forgot that it had a big zipper on the back of it. And so when Keith and Rick and I grabbed a hold of him to put him under, I grabbed a hold of that zipper and I zipped it down to about right here. And I can tell you, he knew that Jesus had entered his life. In a shocking way. So faith is about confession of our faith, of our willingness to have Jesus be the leader of our life, taking our own ego and putting it in a secondary position, and now allowing the Holy Spirit to be now the leader of our life, allowing the Word of God to inform our life. There's also some ongoing things that take place. Don't forget regeneration of sin and forgiveness of sins. That's what it's all about. All the theologians in the crowd are all smiling now. Yeah, it's you now move from darkness to light, from death to life. You are a regenerated human being. You are now on a different eternal trajectory, and you know that because your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. In fact, baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. The inward reality that I've asked Jesus to be the leader of my life, and now I am washed clean of all of my sins. And I am not the same anymore. I am not bound by the moment of time and space. I am now liberated from that, and now I will spend eternity with God. That and a few other things are true when we confess our faith and when we're baptized. It is about our continued dedication to God along the way as well. But that's the ongoing part. The ongoing part is we worship together, even if it's virtually. And one of the signs that we're gathering together in the name of Jesus Christ is we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, to me, it doesn't matter whether you do that every week or you do that once a month. Our thing here is less frequently, more of a big deal. And we try to focus a lot of attention on communion when we do it. And so we kind of like that. That's our tradition, but there are other traditions to be had as well. But it's interesting that if you go and look at the church, those that have asked Jesus to be the leaders of their life around here and on the other side of the world, guess what? Everybody's celebrating the same thing, baptism and communion. Baptism and communion. They are not necessary for our conversion, but they are essential. They are essential to our faith, something that we all share as those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. So we worship, remember, show up and get encouraged, be an encourager. And the Lord's Supper reminds us that he's the leader of this church, that he's the head, that he is the one that is our Savior and our Lord. And then ongoing, we need to remain dedicated to him. We need to be his disciples. We need to be after learning all that Jesus taught and Paul taught, etc. And not only knowing it in our head, but allowing it to go the greatest distance in the universe, the foot and a half from our head to our heart and our soul. So that we're not just talking, but we're walking our faith. Not only knowing our faith, but we're applying it and putting it into play in our life. And so the commitment to the church, to the great commandments, to the great commission, show up in our confession of faith and our baptism. It shows up on an ongoing basis as we're a part of the church. We're worshiping, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. Those two things, again, are outward signs of an inward reality. It says, no, I'm committed and I'm dedicated to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, if people belong before they believe, and this will be my wrap-up here, I think people go through a process, and there's really four parts to that. Number one, people need to discover who Jesus Christ is. More than any other time in my history, people just don't know. They haven't really read the Bible, they haven't come to church, and they just don't know. And we have to help them discover who Jesus Christ is and what it means to be a part of the church so that they can be converted in Jesus Christ. They can ask Jesus to be the leader of their life. If no one is coming to Christ, being converted, then we're not doing everything we ought to be doing as a church. We know we're doing what we should do as a church. When somebody shows up that really doesn't know anything and hasn't experienced anything, that they learn what they need to know and experience so that they can then ask Jesus to be the leader of their life, and they want to do that. And that is a decisive element of why Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that people can spend eternity with him. And that happens at conversion. Give it whatever name you want to give it. They're regenerated. They're moving from death to life. They're moving from darkness to light. From just living in the moment to realizing now I can live for eternity. And wow, that perspective changes everything, doesn't it? We got to grow. We got to grow in our knowledge and our experience of knowing Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What does it mean to live with Christ in my sphere of influence day in and day out? And there's a commonality to that with all of us, but there's also a uniqueness. Your circumstances are different than my circumstances. And so we have to grow in how to live out our faith, how we communicate our faith, how we do ministry in our faith, how we do evangelism in our faith, how we educate. And we have to grow in that. It would be nice if we immediately we became a Christian, raised our hand, or however we responded to Christ, and then in the next moment we had a PhD in biblical theology, and we knew it all, and we could do it all. That ain't the way it works. Okay? No, we're not put in a little protective bubble as Christians, and we don't automatically know it all. There's always something to learn. There's always something new to experience. And yes, Christians are dealing with the challenges of viruses just like everybody else is. We have to grow in how to love God and how to love our neighbor. We have to grow in our understanding of going and making and sharing what it is that we know. The third thing is that we have to mature. Now, I think people who are brand new to the faith, they got a lot going for themselves. one of which is they're usually really excited. And we need that excitement. And what I love about a new Christian is they say all sorts of things they should know better than to say. Right? You put them in a small group and they say all sorts of wild things. And it's awesome because that challenges those that have been hanging around for a while. And it gives you an opportunity to what? Help someone be a better disciple. And so there is a maturing process. It doesn't have to do with how old you are. Aging is not an option, but maturing is. Maturing is. And we have to choose that option. And then finally, we have been receiving, now we give out as a follower of Jesus Christ. We serve. We serve those close around us, those that share the name Squim Community Church, those in the community and those in the world. And as we serve, we know how to talk the talk and walk the walk. Why? Because we become more mature. And we become more mature because we've grown in our knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate our conversion. And we celebrate that by having a day-to-day commitment. And that commitment is to Christ and to His church. It's to Jesus Christ, and it's to those around us in this room, on live stream. I think the church is the best thing to be a part of. And that's one of the reasons I felt called to be a pastor of the church versus a couple of other things I was thinking about doing. Not that those weren't good things, but to me, Christ was the most important thing, and the opportunity to share that eternal reality with others, that trumped everything else on my list. Everything else on my list. Not that to be a committed Christian, you got to be a pastor. Don't think that one bit. But for me, that was essential. That was key. That was a decisive call in my life that I responded to. We are better together. And if you're belonging with us, we want to help you with the believing part as well. Let's pray. Can't leave. Lord, it's awesome that you're always in our midst. You remind us wherever two or more are gathered. And that can be virtually as well as physically in the same space. Because as we gather, we're able to lift you up beyond our own ability, above the individual moments of our life, some of which are really awesome and great and good, but others, Lord, like living right now with this virus is very, very challenging, threatening, frightening. And I'm glad, Lord, that you're with us and that we can feel your power and your presence. And we're thankful that we have others around us who can encourage us, who can love us, who can motivate us to be the best version of ourselves that you created us to be, that we might worship and celebrate together. We might share your word together. We might study and pray and be a part of one another's life in discipleship. And Lord, as we go out, help us to do ministry in your power, sharing your love in very tangible ways. Lord, you're an awesome God. And I'm thankful that as we belong, we're able to believe. And as we believe, we get way better at belonging to one another. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.